All right, we've got quite a few people signed in already. I'm going to do some introductions so that we can give anybody who's still signing on time to do that and to settle in. But my name is Arwen Heredia. I am Prezi's content marketing manager and your moderator for today's session. So welcome to everybody and thank you so much for joining us today. We are here to talk about conversational presenting, which is something that Prezi takes very seriously. We try to encourage everyone to do conversational presenting. And so we brought in one of our certified experts. This is Russell Williams. You can see him both on the screen and in his video feed here. And he is one of our certified experts who we have partnered with for a long time to make sure that people get the most out of using Prezi and applying conversational presenting techniques to the presentations that they give. So I definitely just want to say thank you once again to everybody for joining us. I will let Russell do his own introduction, even though I don't think that he needs one because he is such a great partner of ours. But yeah, we'll let him dive in. But right before we do that, I just want to let you guys all know that if you do have to hop off for any reason or you want to share this content with anyone later, keep an eye out for an email from me tomorrow. We'll be sending out a link to the recording of today's session, a link to view the Prezi that Russell is going to use today, and some other content that you might find valuable after you attend today's session. If you have any questions for Russell or for myself, please go to the Q&A chat box or the actual chat box and put those questions in there, and we will be monitoring all of that for you. So once again, thank you guys so much, and thank you, Russell. I'll hand this over to you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Arwen. I really appreciate that, and thanks for the kind intro as well. So just by chance, actually, I've got the same t-shirt on today that I have on my presentation that you can see as well. I do have other things in my wardrobe, I promise you. But I just want to quickly introduce myself. So my name is Russell Anderson Williams, and as Arwen explained, I am one of Prezi's official independent experts. And I run a couple of presentation design agencies that really focus in on helping people in business and people in the sports sector deliver more engaging presentations. So I'm not going to go on too much about that because I want to get stuck into our subject matter here today. So the chances are that by now, and probably the reason that you're on this webinar, is because you've heard the term conversational presenting. You may have seen people presenting in this way. You may have read one of my blogs or one of the Prezi blogs about it, and you're just really intrigued and interested and want to get started. But some of you out there might have tried to get started with conversational presenting and actually struggled a bit, maybe because you were too crunched for time, or maybe because you were just a little bit too scared about changing the way in which you and your business actually deliver your presentations. So what I'm going to go through with you today in this really short amount of time that we've got here together are the do's and don'ts of conversational presenting. And before we get into that, I just want to thank Prezi, first of all, for inviting me to deliver this content to you. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak to people who are not just Prezi users, but people who are really passionate about delivering and communicating in a more engaging way. So I really appreciate everyone that's on this webinar today, and I do not take your time for granted. So I'm going to give you as much as I possibly can out of this session, and hopefully there'll be some good questions towards the end as well. So thanks very much to Prezi for that. But what I want to focus in on is something that a lot of people tend to miss when it comes to building a conversational presentation. And that is, of course, the conversation. And you might think that's a bit silly, but in my experience, when I talk to people about conversational presenting, they get very excited about it. They fully understand the benefits that it can bring. And then the next thing they do is they open up Prezi and they throw content at it and they just try to start immediately. And I would say that sometimes people get away with that approach, but definitely not all of the time. So what I want to do with you guys today is just take a step back and have a look at what you should do in the build-up to building your conversational presentation. So I'm going to zoom out here for a second, and I'm just going to highlight these three areas that we're going to focus in on. So the very first area that I'm going to take you into and give you my top tips on are practice, and then we're going to take a look at exploring your conversations, and then the third and final part will be the actual building of your conversational Prezi. So again, I find that most people who struggle to get the most out of Prezi and to deliver really great conversational presentations are always the people that miss or skip over those first two parts. Okay, so let's go into the very first part, practice. And you might think, well, why do I need to practice my conversations? I've been doing it since I was a child, right? Well, my guess is that, like me, you'll probably have people in your life that you may have come across very recently. I can think of at least three people in the last month that I've tried to have a conversation with, and these are grown-ups, by the way, in business, and they were no good at holding a conversation at all. They either didn't listen very well, maybe they didn't speak up enough, maybe they just weren't interested and completely disengaged. There's a million different ways that you can fail at being a good conversationalist. So my very first tip is just to get you to think about this for a second. Are you actually good at this? Are you actually good at the art of conversation? And again, you might think to yourself, well, of course I am. I've been doing this since I was a child. But, you know, it's always worth just checking that you really are. So one thing that I would say is do not assume that you are good at conversations. That could be a really, really bad assumption to make. And what I would encourage you to do is to find your weak points in your conversational skills and to work on those. So I'll give you an example. When I first started using Prezi in a conversational way, I actually had a few colleagues that I was working with at the time. And just for a bit of fun, we were exploring how to build a conversational Prezi. And we actually decided to grade each other on how good we were at conversations. So we had different headings, such as listening skills, questioning skills, patience, things like that. You can think of lots of different categories that will make a good conversation. We had a few conversations with each other, just one-to-one and also in groups, and we graded each other and gave each other feedback. Now, you might feel really uncomfortable going and doing that with some of your colleagues in your workplace, so you don't have to do that, but it is, trust me, it is a really fun exercise. One of the things that I found is that because I was so passionate about what I was talking about, so presentations and Prezi and things like that, I was actually jumping in with my feedback or my responses much too fast. I wasn't letting the other people in the conversation finish what they were saying because I was so sure I had the answer. I just wanted to give it to them there and then. And that can be really annoying. And that was actually the feedback. You know, they didn't hold back on me at all. They said, it's really annoying when you just give us your response without letting us finish. So over the last few years, that is something that I've really worked on. I actually don't say a word until the other person has finished. That was my own weakness. That's something I've worked on. There are still areas I need to work on. But, you know, again, make sure that you don't assume you're good at conversations. Try to find those weak points and work on them, just like you would work on your presentation skills. And then my second tip for you, when it comes to the art of conversations, I would say don't be too quiet, as the title suggests there on the screen, but try to be quiet enough. So do not talk too much and do listen more than you talk. Now, if there are any salespeople joining us on this webinar today, you will realize already the importance of listening more than you're actually talking. That will enable you to let the other person explain their problems, their issues, there's sales objections, whatever it may be, and you as the presenter then have a clear direction as to where you need to take the conversation. So don't talk too much and do listen more than you actually talk. Really, really important. And then finally, when it comes to the art of conversation, do not try to be something that you are not. This is really, really important, especially in today's business world. It feels to me at the moment like there's this big drive towards authenticity and honesty. You see a lot of business leaders making, you know, videos with their mobile phones, putting them onto LinkedIn so they can see who they really are. And this is really important. When you're in a conversation with someone, whether it's a prospect or a customer of yours, don't try to be something you're not. And don't pretend your business is something that it's not. And do be yourself. Be completely authentic and be completely honest. And excuse me. And one thing that might make you a little bit uncomfortable here, when I say be honest, I mean be honest even if you don't know the answer to something. So if you get asked a question and you don't know the answer, rather than try to pretend you know the answer, people will see right through that. Just be honest, tell them that you don't know, make sure you write it down and follow up with them when you do have the answer, but people will appreciate your honesty and they'll know that you're a stand-up guy or girl, and that will keep a conversation alive. So in summary, the art of conversation, my tips there, and this again is all about just practicing your conversational skills, making sure that you are of a good enough level that you can hold the audience's attention and hold a good conversation with people. So do not assume that you're good at this. Do work on your weak points once you manage to highlight those. And again, if you're brave enough, get some colleagues involved, have a fun little exercise where you grade each other on your conversation skills, or you know, maybe just record some of the conversations that you have, play them back to yourself, you know, and just be really honest with yourself. Where could you have been better in that conversation? Really important to not talk too much and to listen more than you talk. And then finally, don't be something you're not. Don't pretend your business is something it's not. Be yourself and be honest, even when that means you don't have the answer to something. So in terms of practicing your conversation skills, I think those are the main areas that everyone should work on. So I normally recommend to people that they practice or they revisit their presentation skills at least every 18 months or so. And if you are really interested in using conversational presenting as a technique, then you do need to go back and address those conversational skills. It just goes without saying. So the next stage then, once we are confident that we've got our conversation skills to a good level, we need to actually explore the conversations that we're having. Now, my guess is that most people on this webinar will have delivered the same presentation time and time again. You will know your subject matter really, really well. And you'll probably have had the same types of conversations for the last decade, you know, with your customers and your prospects. I know that's certainly true for me. I know exactly now what sort of questions people are gonna ask when they come to our company and ask about presentation design or Prezi training or whatever it may be. But we should never, again, we should never assume that we know how these conversations are going to flow, because someone will always throw you a curveball question. I've been running this business, so we are a presentation design and training company. I've been doing this now for nearly 7 years. And when I think I've got every single question with the right response to give, someone throws me a curveball. Just because business changes all the time, the world changes all the time, people have different needs and different wants all the time. So someone will always ask you a question that you've never heard of. And when that happens, it can really hit you quite hard. And sometimes if you're not prepared for it, it can really stop you dead in your tracks, and it can really stop the flow of a nice presentation and a nice conversation. So wouldn't it be good if you could have the answers to everything? Well, if I'm honest, that's probably not possible. You're never going to be able to have the answers to everything. But what you can do is be extremely prepared, extremely well prepared for your conversation or presentation. And the way that you do that is really, really simple. So first of all, do not assume that you know how things are going to flow. In fact, this week I had a conversation with a new prospect who asked me a question that I have never been asked in 7 years of doing what I do. But I was able to add that to a little spreadsheet I have, so I do have that in the bag, so to speak, for the next time I have a conversational presentation with someone. I'll explain how I approach that in a second. So don't assume how you know how things will flow, and do all you can to be prepared for every outcome, for every possible question. And again, you're probably only going to be able to be prepared for 90, maybe 95% of what people are going to throw at you. Okay, because some clever Alec out there is always going to come up with something that you've never heard before. So, to be prepared, actually, really, really simple. Sorry, Oren, did you say something then?
Sorry. Wondering if you'd be willing to take a couple of questions about conversational presenting techniques, the ones you were just talking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the question about how to map out your conversation, you mean?
So we have a couple. The first one is, how do you kind of know when someone is actually finished talking and it's okay for you to start talking? Like, what kind of cues can you look for to figure that out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first big cue is that their mouth is not moving. you can't hear any sound coming from them. But I would always just pause for a second. It doesn't have to be one of those long, drawn-out pauses that you see experienced salespeople doing. I think they call it the silent close. But just pause for a second, and they'll normally give you a little kind of nod or something like that. It'll be very obvious that you'll know when someone has finished talking. I would just say look for little cues, body language and things like that.
Great. And then on that same vein, how do you manage when the other person that you're speaking to doesn't really know how to listen and is just kind of talking continuously? Like, if you do have to interrupt, how would you do that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually, because, of course, we're talking about you guys being good conversational presenters, but that doesn't mean the people you're in conversation with are going to be equally as good at it as you. So I think patience plays a really big role. That's something that everyone, I think, needs to bear in mind. You are going to have to be really patient with some people. But if people do kind of take over the conversation, I think it can be quite difficult. I know that I've been in a few situations where I've had maybe three or four people that I'm presenting to in this conversational way, and one of them has sort of been the dominant person in the room that's tried to take over. What I tend to do is, without making it really obvious and without me coming across as being really rude, I tend to direct questions at the other people in the room. Mm-hmm. And so long as you don't make that really obvious and you don't make yourself come across as being really rude, it then just shows that person that you do want other people to get involved. And also it shows those other people that it's okay for them to get involved, because sometimes they might just be used to Joe Bloggs. He's the one who does all the talking in our meetings. So I think doing what you can to get other people involved by way of just asking them questions is definitely a good move.
Great. Thank you so much for the detour. Back to your presentation now.
No problem at all. So what we're talking about a second ago, I'll just go back to remind everyone. So we're talking about the flow of your conversation. Don't assume that you know how things will flow. Do all you can to be prepared for every outcome. And the way that I did that when I first started presenting in this way is I mapped out my conversation. I used pen and pad, first of all. But back in the day, when I was using Prezi Classic an awful lot, I actually used Prezi Classic to map out my conversation. And I used that as pretty much as a sales tool when I was on the phone to people. It was really, really useful. And I think there is an old blog somewhere on our website where you can preview that. But what I would recommend as well is that if you are having the same conversations time and time again, I would just ask a few of the people that you're in conversation with if they don't mind it being recorded. I did this a few years ago. I think out of about 15 people that I asked, only two said no. I explained why I was doing it, and of course everyone was more than happy for me to do that. What I found then is when I played back those recordings, it was really, really easy for me to highlight those key areas that everyone seemed to want to know about. So for me, two of the big key areas for me were about Prezi design and Prezi training. So I knew straight away that in my conversational Prezi that I was about to go and build, those would need to be the two dominant areas that people could see on the screen. Inside each of those, there were questions that people asked. So in Prezi design, people asked, well, when you design a Prezi for us, how do we make edits to it in the future, or do I need a license? There was all these different questions within each of those topics or within each of those questions themselves. So I just enabled, I just built something that showed me a map of the conversation, and that map really then guided me when building the Prezi itself. So I'm going to talk about that next, but just to kind of recap, don't assume you know how things are going to flow. People are always going to throw you a curveball question that you aren't expecting, and do all you can to be prepared for every possible question. So the third and final area then, so I just want to kind of make sure everyone is aware that why we've gone through things in this way. So first of all, we've practiced our conversational skills. We've made sure that we are good enough at conversations that it is worth us building a conversational presentation with Prezi. Then we've actually explored the conversations that we're having. We've thought about the main areas and topics that people want to know about, the questions within those, and what the best responses might be. And then finally, with all that information compiled, we can look at actually building the Prezi itself. So I could probably talk to you guys for an entire day about building a conversational Prezi, because I do a lot of Prezi training, and you know, this is my little baby. This is what I love to talk about the most. But I'm gonna just give you two of my top tips. And the very first one is something that I think everybody knows already, and that's that you literally cannot read and listen to someone at the same time. And there's studies that show this as well. The human brain actually cannot focus on someone that's talking to them and read information at the same time and remember both things or keep track of both things. So that's why I get really annoyed when I see a lot of presenters just throwing bullet point text with, you know, paragraphs of, you know, sentences and too many words onto slides, and then talking to people whilst also expecting people to read. So my biggest tip here, of course, is that this is a conversational presentation. So do not force your audience to read whilst you're in a conversation. And I would challenge any of you to, you know, after this webinar, go and try and actually do that with someone in your office. It's very, very difficult to do. So what we do need to do, of course, is to be extremely visual. Now, I always recommend to everyone that you be as visual as you possibly can in all presentations. Of course, that goes without saying. In fact, you know, in case you didn't know, just a little nugget of information here, but your eyes and your sight is actually the most dominant sense that takes in information. That's why we all prefer to see visuals than trying to read from a screen. So be extremely visual, and that is even more important when it comes to conversational presenting, because the chances are there's only going to be you, maybe one other person or a couple of other people, and you want to hold that conversation. You don't want them to have to read something and then look up at you and then look back down and read. That's going to get really frustrating for them very, very quickly. Okay, so don't force them to read whilst in conversation, and be extremely visual. And then the second tip, and I would say probably the biggest tip I would give you when it comes to conversational presenting, is to let your audience do the driving. And I'll explain what I mean here. So I actually present with Prezi a lot from my iPad, mainly because I'm out on the road a lot at networking events and things like that. I don't want to have to get my laptop out to show people what Prezi's all about. Now, what I tend to do is give people the iPad with my presentation loaded. Obviously, I make sure I get it back at the end. I can't afford to go giving iPads away. But I don't expect people to know how to use Prezi. So I would suggest, you know, I don't want you to run before you can walk. But when you're ready and when you're comfortable with this conversational style of presenting, start to hand the presentation over to the audience. If you present on an iPad or a Microsoft Surface or any kind of touchscreen device, hand it over to the audience and let them click on the areas that they want to click on. And that will increase their engagement levels tenfold. It will be you'll be really amazed at how much more engaged they will be. Get them to click around whilst you facilitate the conversation. But do not expect them to know how to use Prezi, because they may have never seen it before. So to combat that, what I would do is I would add navigational prompts for them. And this doesn't have to be complicated at all, but I would use a simple icon like the hand icon I've got in the middle of the screen here to simply just indicate where they need to tap on the screen in order to zoom into a piece of content. It can be as simple as that. We have built Prezi's in the past where we've had left and right arrows and actual written instructions on the screen as well. But you don't have to go to that extent. And of course, I would just demo it to them in person as well. If they've never seen Prezi before, they might get a little bit stuck and you can help them out. But by all means, my biggest tip to really increase engagement, grab their attention and keep it all the way through, is to let them do the driving. You are literally in the passenger seat facilitating the conversation. And I just want to add another little aside to this, actually. One of the biggest things that presenters get asked at the end of a presentation is, can you send me those slides? It's a little bugbear of mine because, you know, I'm such a Prezi fanboy that when someone says to me, can you send me your slides, I normally say to them, well, Prezi isn't made up of slides, but, you know, that's a technicality, really. I know what they mean. So what I can actually do is, even better than sending them a bunch of slides, of course, I can send them a link to view my Prezi online. Now, if I've got those navigational prompts inside the Prezi, it makes it much easier for them to view this on their own without me when they're just clicking around on their laptop. And also, just in case you weren't aware, you can add voiceover narration into your presentations as well. So once you've delivered this in person to one person or a group of people, you then maybe want to think about adding some voiceover narration, adding some navigation, and then sending this out to the people that you just presented to so that they get a really nice engaging experience online as well. So I'll just quickly recap then before we come to the end of my presentation, then we'll open up for lots of questions. We started off by looking at the kind of art of conversation. So again, don't assume that you're good at this, and do try to find your weak points and really do what you can to work on those. I find that excitement I have that forced me to jump in when I shouldn't be jumping in my conversations, I still feel that when I talk to people about Prezi and about presenting. But I now know I need to bury it a bit and just let people finish talking. So talk very little, or at least listen more than you actually talk. That's really, really important. And do not try to be something that you aren't. Don't try to make out your business is something it's not. Be authentic, be honest, be yourself. If you don't know the answer to something, you know, just put your hands up and say, I'll get back to you on that. And then when it comes to actually looking at your conversations and mapping those out, don't assume you know how everything is going to flow. Again, someone's going to throw you a curveball eventually. Just be ready for that. But you can do all you can to be prepared for every possible outcome. And then finally, don't force your audience to read whilst in conversation. Do be extremely visual in your conversational presentations. And again, I'll say, even if you don't present in a conversational way, please try to be extremely visual in all presentations. It's so important these days. Don't expect people to know how to use Prezi. You might love Prezi, you might have used it for years, but I still find today that there are people who, you know, their business won't let them use Prezi, or they've just never come across it for whatever reason because they're stuck in the dark ages. So don't expect that everyone knows how to use it, and do add navigation prompts for them. Okay, so there's a lot of tips there. Like I said, I could probably talk about this subject for an entire day, but I don't think Arwen will let me ramble on that much. But I just want to say thank you again to everyone for being on the webinar. Thank you for listening. And I know that obviously I haven't presented this in a conversational way, because it's quite difficult to do that when you've got a couple of hundred people or so on a webinar. But when you do have a few people, like the image that I've got on screen here, I think conversational presenting is definitely the way to go to increase engagement and really just come across as someone who will be remembered. So thanks for listening. And Arwen, I guess we'll open up now to any questions that people have.
Fantastic. So I'll actually start down the list because it's more relevant to what you just said. Dominique is asking if this conversational presenting is suitable for a very large audience, so in an auditorium, or is it better suited for a small group?
I think it depends how brave you are. So the biggest group that I've ever delivered a conversational presentation to was actually around 20 people. I think it was more like 18 or so. And that was quite tricky. I must admit, that was quite difficult. And I think there may have been a few people in the room who didn't quite manage to get involved in the conversation. So I would say that's probably the most you ever want to think about delivering a conversational presentation to. But having said that, if you planned it right, and if you were willing and brave enough, I would absolutely love to have an auditorium of 400 people that I open up a conversational presentation to. You know, you could do that by using live polling. You could, rather than people just shouting out their questions, you could do some live polling to judge where your presentation should go. So I think it is doable. I've never had the chance to do it with such a large group. I would say that it is most effective, though, when you do have anywhere between sort of 2 to 5 people, because then everyone can get involved. It's very easy for people to feel like they are being heard and they can get their questions across. So there's not really a right or wrong to that. I think it's down to your own bravery, to be honest.
Yeah, and absolutely. The live polling is something that we have implemented when, you know, doing a presentation that we want to keep conversational on a larger scale. You know, Slido is a great tool for that. There's some that are built into Zoom. There's a variety of tools out there that you can use to do that sort of conversational thing. And I do encourage people to think of conversational presenting as something that can go beyond the face-to-face or, you know, video-to-video conversation. Because of the analytics feature that we do have in Prezi, you can get feedback when you're not even presenting. And you can go back to that feedback and see where people are engaging with your presentation and reach out to them after the fact. So a conversation in the traditional sense is not the limit of what we're talking about here in conversation.
That's a good point.
Great. So next question. this is from Jose. So how is it possible to prepare for every result when there are so many outcomes if you're preparing for those curveball questions? So what do you do to get ready for that?
So it literally just comes down to scheduling in time to practice again. So to give you an example, I mean, when I first started our business, thepresenter.com, obviously Prezi Next wasn't around then, so we were using Prezi Classic for everything. And I built a conversational Prezi based on the questions that people were asking at that time. So that was back in sort of 2010, 2011. Now in 2018, very quickly going on to 2019, there are lots of different questions that people are asking these days. I get asked a lot more about security these days. I get asked a lot more about team licenses and things like that. Those were questions that I wasn't getting asked so much a few years ago. So I guess the real answer to this is just to schedule in regular time. And I would probably say maybe every 6 months, 9 months, it's entirely up to you. But just make sure you have a review time when you can look at your conversational Prezi, go through it, and think about whether or not it is answering all of the questions that you've been asked recently. So I simply just keep updating my company sales deck, essentially, with new questions that I'm being asked all the time.
Great. That's a wonderful tip, and exactly the kind of iterative stuff that we're talking about with the analytics stuff. So a couple of great questions from Joan. We'll start with, how do you manage people who interrupt you sarcastically?
Yeah, well, you get those people in standard presentations as well. I think we call them hecklers. So when you have people like that, the only thing you can do is just not rise to it. It's as simple as that. I've been a presenter now in various different guises, you know, a training consultant and a professional speaker and things like that for about 15 years now. And I've literally only had two occasions in those 15 years where I've had to actually pull people aside and say to them, you know, is there a problem here? Do you want to be in this presentation or not? Because I'm not forcing you to be here. You can leave if you want to. So I would say, you know, just take it as it comes. If it's just the odd sarcastic comment, I would probably just ignore it and move on. If it kind of escalates and if it affects the other people in the room, then again, I would just be really open and honest, which was one of my tips, and just ask that person, you know, is there something going on here that I don't know about? Is there a reason why you don't seem to be engaging with this subject or with my presentation? I think that's the only way you can handle it, honestly.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Saw that recently and watched a very experienced presenter do exactly that. They just sort of took it and asked in front of the audience, you know, what's going on here, and were able to get to the bottom of it and sort of move on, which was really great.
Yeah.
So second question from Joan, how do you balance being visual and using the content that you need? Because sometimes too many visuals to some people can seem not corporate enough, and that she has apparently had some feedback about it being less credible if you are using too many images.
Right, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I do find that particularly, I don't want to kind of call out any names here in terms of sectors, but there are certain sectors out there that are slightly behind the times when it comes to visual communication. So I'm guessing that everyone on this webinar will probably be able to name a few without me doing that for them. I don't want to offend anyone, of course. So to answer that question, I would say that, you know, really just look at some of the facts. There are so many studies now online that, and so many really, really meaningful bits of research that show we take in more information with our eyes than any of the other senses. So there's, I forget the exact figures, but I think it's something like you remember 65% of a presentation if you see some great visuals and you hear someone talking about those visuals at the same time. If you just read something, you will only remember about 10% within 3 days. So those facts and figures are out there. So I would really encourage you to just go and look at some of those studies, you know, get some of that science, share it in your business, try and make people really aware of it. One of the questions that I come up against quite a lot is, well, this presentation is great, it looks really visual, but when I send this out as a handout, it's not going to make sense to everyone. So we want to put in tons of text, please. My response to that would be, you know, if you want to do this right, the presentation you deliver to people in person should be extremely visual, and the handout that you send separately should have the additional notes. So they are two separate things. I think too many people try to make the presentation and the handout exist in the same space. And I would try and avoid that if you can. So hopefully that's answered that. But it's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really great suggestion, actually, because we get that question, of course, a lot too. You know, how do we make it as visual as possible, but still get something across if we're not delivering that in person? And so speaking of the statistics, though, I would definitely encourage everyone to go check out Prezi.com/the science, because we do have evidence in there and findings that we have gone out and had researched that do show how impactful visuals really are compared to text. And one of the best examples that we use frequently is if you are looking at a road sign that has the people crossing it, you can process that in about 0.25 seconds. Whereas if you had to read 25 words that said, "There are parents and children crossing the street, so please slow down," that's going to take you about 6 seconds to process that text. Yeah. So when you're trying to be on your feet and thinking and getting people processing information in a presentation setting, visuals are really scientifically proven to be the way to go. Great. So next question here, how do you take full control of a conversational presentation if it starts to stray away from the topic?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually. I think that comes with practice. If it does stray away from the topic, I think you need to be willing to let it stray a little bit from the topic. It may be that the reason it strayed from your main topic is because the people you're presenting to just have that particular thing on their minds at that point in time. So sometimes it's good to just let that play out. Obviously, if that goes on for an hour, then that's not good. So I think you need to maybe just give yourself a little time limit on it. And then you can just, you know, do a few different things. I would say that every 10 minutes in a presentation, regardless of whether it's conversational or if you're just doing a linear presentation on stage, every 10 minutes is when people's attention span tends to dip. So I would try and change either the pace of your presentation or change the visuals, change something, but just make a change. And that can normally bring people back. So I've noticed that happening to me when I've been one-to-one with people a few times, literally because they've just got other stuff going on in their life, and there are so many distractions these days, of course. So I've used a simple technique by simply getting up and going and grabbing a coffee from the room that we were in and coming back just and sitting in a different place. Just changing something always seems to bring people back. But if you're confident enough and you're with people that you have a good relationship with, then you can be really honest and say, "Oh, come on, let's talk about that later. Let's get back to the subject." So, yeah, it's an interesting question, but a useful tip is every 10 minutes, try to change something anyway. And that should stop people kind of going off at a tangent.
Great, great advice. So a question from Sunny, and this is, I think, more for my side of the fence here. How and where can you learn how to use and develop Prezi as a presentation tool? So certainly Russell knows the ins and outs of that too. But I would just head over to Prezi.com. There's a ton of learned content there. You can also check out our blog at blog.prezi.com, and you will get access to a ton of information, things like webinars that you can watch or blogs that you can read that have information on what we offer and how to do it right and how to be a better presenter in general, as well as use the product. So yeah, everything that you need is on our blog and on our home site. So definitely head over there. We have an entire knowledge base full of learned content that can teach you how to develop Prezi and bring that into your company. Oh, here's a great question from Juan. Have you ever had the problem of people that simply won't talk or react? What do you do in that situation?
First of all, I would check if they have a pulse. to be honest with you, though, no, I've never had that problem. And I think maybe the reason I've never had that problem in a conversational presentation is because the great thing about it, and one of the biggest benefits, is that you get people engaged right from the very start. So one of the biggest benefits of a conversational presentation is that the very first thing you do when you're in that room with people is you ask them, what would you like to focus on? What would you like to talk about? Where would you like to start? And asking them that simple question literally snaps them out of whatever kind of zone they've gone into. And it forces them to interact, because if they don't answer that question, then you're both going to be sat there feeling really awkward. So I think that's probably why I've never had that issue. That's not to say it's never going to happen, though. But I guess if it does, I would probably just move through my presentation in a slightly linear way, but still try and get them involved as we go through.
Yeah, great. So these last two questions that I have here are very much down to business. Agneta wants to know how much it costs to have a conversational company presentation made by you. So where would you like people to contact you for that kind of information?
Yeah, awesome. So for that kind of information, yeah, if you can contact myself personally, it's Russell. My name is on the screen at the moment. So it's RUSSELL. @thepresenter.com or info@thepresenter.com. And if I don't get back to you, then one of our team of designers here certainly will pick that up and get back to you straight away. It's a difficult question to answer because every presentation is completely different. So get in touch and yeah, we can have a call and I'll be glad to help.
Awesome. And Christine, we have different versions. She's asking if the Prezi software costs money. Certain versions of it do. We have a freemium model that you can certainly start using right away. But if you want access to some of the more advanced features that we offer or our design services or anything like that, then certainly there is a subscription fee associated with that. But we do absolutely have a free model that you guys can use starting today. And we have a bunch of templates.
One thing I would just add to that, actually, Arwen, is that obviously Prezi costs money to have different license types, but there are loads and loads of examples out there of people winning new business by presenting in a conversational way. So if you are looking to kind of justify your return on investment, you know, there's plenty of examples out there on just that. So it's worth looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like we are at the end of our questions, which is great. I was going to cut us off in 2 minutes anyway, so that people have time to get to their next meetings and whatnot. So thank you guys so much for those of you that stuck through to the end here and were asking such wonderful questions. We really appreciate that and really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And very giantmundus thanks to Russell for your expertise here and for joining us and sharing all of these great tips with us. This was a very valuable session and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thanks to everyone for attending. And do reach out to me if you need any advice. I'm always happy to talk to people who want to improve presentations in any way. So I'll be happy to talk.
Absolutely. So everyone, do keep an eye out for that email from me tomorrow. You'll get the recording, a link to view the Prezi and some other content, and access to see, you know, how you can get in touch with Russell if you'd like to do that. And thank you guys once again, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yeah, take care.